Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, preached by Jonathan Edwards on July 8, 1741, in Enfield, Connecticut. His text was from Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, "Their foot shall slip in due time." In this verse, the violent anger of God is threatened upon the wicked and unbelieving Israelites, who were God's chosen people living under the benefits of His grace, but who, despite all God's wonderful works toward them, were without sense and had no understanding in them. Though cultivated by the blessings of heaven, they brought forth only bitter and poisonous fruit. The verse I have chosen for my text, "Their foot shall slip in due time," relates to the punishment and destruction of these wicked Israelites. It implies the following things. They were always exposed to destruction, just as someone who stands or walks in slippery places is always in danger of falling. The destruction of the Israelites is implied in the text by their foot slipping. The same idea is expressed in Psalm 73:18. "Surely you set them in slippery places, you cast them down to destruction." It also implies that they were always exposed to sudden, unexpected destruction, just as he who walks in slippery places is always liable to fall. He cannot foresee from one moment to the next whether he will stand or fall. When he does fall, it is sudden and without warning. This is also expressed in Psalm 73, verses 18 and 19. "Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors." Another thing this text implies is that they are capable of falling totally on their own. They do not have to be thrown down by another person. Like someone who stands or walks on slippery ground, they need only their own weight to make them fall. The only reason they have not fallen already is that God's appointed time has not yet come. The text says that when their appointed time does come, their foot shall slip. Then by their own weight, they will be left to fall. God will not hold them up in these slippery places any longer, but will let them go, and at the very instant he does, they will fall into destruction. As a man standing on the slippery slope at the edge of a pit cannot stand unassisted when he is let go, he immediately falls and is lost. From these words, I would insist on this. Nothing keeps wicked people out of hell for a single moment, except the mere pleasure of God. By the mere pleasure of God, I mean His sovereign pleasure, which is not hindered or restrained by anything. It is only the sovereign will of God that preserves the life of a wicked person. Nothing else preserves the wicked for one moment except God's mere will. The truth of this observation may be seen in the following thoughts. God does not lack the power to throw wicked people into hell at any moment. The hands of man are weak when God rises up against him. The strongest of men are defenseless against God, and no one can be rescued from his hand. God is not only able to throw people into hell, but he is also able to do it easily. Sometimes a ruler struggles to subdue a rebel because the rebel has strengthened his position and rallied other men to his aid. But this is not the way it is with God. Nothing can defend you from his power. Even though wicked people join in great numbers against him, they are easily broken into pieces. They are like great piles of weightless chaff in a tornado, or large heaps of dry stubble in the path of devouring flames. We find it easy to step on and crush a worm crawling on the ground, and it is easy for us to cut or burn a thin thread by which an object hangs. It is just as easy for God to cast his wicked enemies into hell whenever he pleases. Who are we to think that we can stand against him whose rebuke makes the earth shake and the mountains fall? The wicked deserve to be thrown into hell. God is not unjust in using his power to destroy them. No, on the contrary, justice calls aloud for an infinite punishment of their sins. Divine justice says of the tree that bears grapes like Sodom, "Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" The sword of divine justice waves over their heads at every moment, and nothing but God's sovereign mercy and mere will holds it from falling on them. Wicked people are already under a sentence of condemnation to hell. Not only do they justly deserve to be thrown down into hell, but the sentence of God's eternal and unchangeable standard of righteousness, which He has placed between Himself and mankind, stands against them so that they are already hanging over hell. John 3:18 says, "He who does not believe is condemned already." This means that every unconverted person rightfully belongs to hell. That is his place, where he is from. You are from beneath, and he is bound for hell. It is hell that God's justice, His word, and the sentence of His unchangeable law assign to the unconverted. Wicked and unbelieving people are even now the objects of the very same anger and wrath of God that are revealed in the torments of hell. The reason they are not thrown down into hell now is not that the sovereign God is not angry with them, as He is with the many miserable people who are already tormented in hell and bearing His fierce wrath. No, God is much angrier with unbelievers who are still here on earth, and very likely with many now in this congregation, than He is with many of those now in the flames of hell. So the reason why God has not loosened His hand and cut them off is not that He is unaware of their wickedness or tolerates it. God is not like them, though they imagine Him to be. The wrath of God is burning against them. Their damnation is not sleeping. The pit is prepared. The fire is already made. The furnace is hot and ready to receive them. The flames, even now, rage and glow. The shiny sword is sharpened and held over them. The pit has opened its mouth under them. The devil also stands ready to fall on the wicked and take them as his own the moment God allows. They belong to the devil. He has their souls in his possession and under his rule. The demons are watching them and are always at hand. As greedy, hungry lions wait for the opportune time to devour their prey, so the demons stand waiting for the wicked. They expect to get them but are held back for the moment. If God were to withdraw His hand, which is what restrains the demons, they would at once attack their poor souls. The devil himself is staring at them with his mouth wide open, and the mouth of hell waits to receive them. If God were to allow it, the wicked would quickly be swallowed up and lost. Within the souls of wicked people, hellish desires reign. Were it not for God's restraints, those desires would kindle and flare up into hellfire. In the very nature of carnal men lies the basis for the torments of hell. These corrupt desires controlling and possessing them are the very seeds of hellfire. They are active and extremely violent. If it were not for God's restraining hand, they would soon fan out as widely as the corruption and hostility that fill the hearts of the condemned and produce the same kind of torment in them. Scripture compares the souls of the wicked to the troubled sea, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. For the time, God is restraining their wickedness by His almighty power, just as He restrains the raging waters of the troubled sea when He says, "This far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop." But again, if God were to withdraw His restraining power, it would take all of them away. Sin is the ruin and misery of the soul. It is destructive by nature, and if God were to leave it unrestrained, nothing else would be needed to make the soul perfectly miserable. The heart is extremely corrupt, and its fury knows no boundaries. Sin is like fire confined by God's restraints, but if let loose, it would set ablaze the whole course of nature. The heart of man is now a pit full of sin, and if it were not restrained, it would immediately turn the soul into a fiery oven or a furnace of fire and brimstone. It is no security to wicked people for one moment that they are in no apparent danger of dying soon. It is no security for the natural man that he is now healthy, or that he does not foresee how he might suddenly be taken by some accident, though his present circumstances pose no visible danger. The long and varied history of humanity disproves the assumption that we are not on the very brink of eternity itself, and that our very next step will not be into another world.